Those names are for my chiefs in London, and no one else. And if you think, whoever you are, that you can get them out of me, my dear Mr. Comber, he held up a hand, I'm not interested. My concern with the slave trade lies in quite another direction, the same direction, I believe, as your own. That is why you are here. He looked at me steadily. You have heard, I am sure, of the Underground Railroad. It's a secret society for stealing slaves and helping them to escape, isn't it? To Canada. It is an organization for saving souls, snaps he. It is an army that fights the blasphemous iniquity of black slavery. It is an army without colors or ranks or pay. An army of dedicated men and women who labor secretly to release their black brethren from bondage and give them liberty. Yes, we steal slaves. Yes, we run them to free soil. Yes, we die for doing it. Like them, we are hunted with dogs and tortured and hanged and shot if we are caught. But we do it gladly because we are marching in Christ's army, sir, and we will not lay down our weapons until the last shackle is broken, the last branding iron smashed, and the last slave free. By gad, he was in a fine sweat. But now he sat back and spoke in a normal voice. Forgive me. As though I need to say such things to you. Why, you put your life in the hazard in the nethermost hell of this foul traffic. Oh, we know all about you, Mr. Comber, and the heroic work you did in bringing that scoundrel Spring to book, which reminds me of a privilege I promised myself tonight. He got to his feet. Mr. Comber, may I have the honor to shake your hand? And blow me, he seized my fist and pumped it hard enough to start water out of me. Thank you, sir. Thank you, says he. You have made me a happy man. Now, may I tell you how you may make me happier still? I sat down again and listened. As you know, we of the Underground Railroad rescue slaves wherever we can and send them north, secretly to the free states beyond the Ohio River and the Mason-Dixon line. Alone, they could never hope to make the journey, so we send with them our agents who pose as slave owners and convoy the unfortunates to safety. It is perilous work, and the role of martyrs grows longer every day. Now, all slaves are important to us, however lowly, but some are more important than others. Such a one is George Randolph. Have you heard of him? No. Well, you shall. You have heard of Nat Turner, the slave who led a great rebellion in Virginia and was barbarously executed by his tormentors. Well, Randolph is such another, but a greater man, better educated, more intelligent, with a greater vision. Twice he has tried to organize insurrection. Twice he has failed. Three times he has escaped. Twice he has been recaptured. He is a fugitive at this moment, but we have him safe, and God willing, they shall never take him again. Comber would have applauded, so I said, Oh, bravo! Bravo indeed, says he. But George Randolph is not in Canada yet. He is still here, a hunted runaway. The journey to freedom lies ahead of him. But is that difficult for your splendid organization? Most of our spies are black. Most are still slaves. Collecting intelligence is one thing, but running slaves to Canada is quite another. Here we need white agents, dedicated, resolute, and bold, and these are pitifully few. Of the gallant young men who ran our last three convoys, one is dead, one in jail, and the third in Canada, unable to return because he would certainly be arrested. I have not one that I can send with Randolph, sir, not one, for I cannot risk sending any but the hardiest, the bravest, the least suspected. Do you see my plight, sir? Can you understand?